the service. Until then, let's grab our Bibles and turn to Joshua, please. Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter number 7. Making our way through. Whenever you find that, if you don't mind to stand, and then we will get into our reading. Now, we are going to cover the entire chapter. I just stopped putting titles on there, Brother Josh, okay? So just put the text on there, and we'll figure it out. So we'll give you a title here in a second. But we're gonna cover the entire chapter. For sake of our reading, we won't stand and read the entire thing, but we will read the entire thing throughout the night. But for now, we'll start in verse 1 of chapter 7. It says this: "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing." Now that's a sad way to start, considering where we left off, right? And we'll talk about that after they just had that great victory in Jericho. "But they committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Verse 2, "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai." So he didn't know this happened, apparently. And he's starting to get ready for his next battle, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, "and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai." So just for sake of time right now, they send people there. They think it's no big deal. They say send just a portion of the army. We'll talk more about that. Well, it didn't go so well for them, and they ended up being defeated there. In verse 5, "The men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, and they chased them from before the gate, even the Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore, the hearts of the people melted and became as water." And as we go through, we're going to find out why that happened. But it's kind of a sad part of this story, isn't it? As we've been thinking of Joshua, and they've been doing so good, really for 6 chapters, following the Lord, seeing Him bless, and we get here to chapter 7. But God's grace is there, isn't it? And God's grace is always available, and He can even work through situations like this. And so I'm excited to get into it tonight. And so the title is this: Destroy the Accursed Thing. Destroy the Accursed Thing. If you look in verse 1, they took the accursed thing. Basically, the answer is to destroy the accursed thing. And so we'll get into that tonight as we go along. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the book of Joshua, how it's already been a blessing in so many ways to us as church family. And Lord, thank you for the example they've had. And then, Lord, even this story, we're thankful that it's recorded, even though it's sad. But help us, Lord, to look through it and to learn from it and be admonished by it, so that we can follow you as we go through this journey of sanctification and growth. We love you. Pray to be with our service tonight. Bless him, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And so, as we've considered the last few weeks, Israel just won their first battle in Canaan. And it's been quite the journey. And they finally made it to Jericho, and they won their first battle. Now, I'll remind you that Israel was on a journey of sanctification. And what that means is that they're on a journey from where they are, and God has a place for them, and He has a plan for them, and He has a plan for them to be established militarily, established as a nation, established spiritually, and all of that, part of that being established in the land. And so God's bringing them from where they were outside of the Jordan River, outside of Canaan, and they crossed the river. And the idea now is they're going to face battle after battle after battle, claiming more and more of Canaan land until they eventually are able to conquer the land and set up kingdom there and all of that. And so they're following God's plan here, and they've been doing that for 7 chapters. They've just been following God. God said something, they did it, right? And unquestionably, from the beginning, Joshua took leadership, and God said, "Joshua, you're going to be the one who I'm going to use," and He gives Joshua a message. Joshua gives the people the message, and the people say, "We're behind you, Joshua. As you follow God, we'll follow you." And that's how it's been. And even visually speaking, you remember the ark went ahead, and they saw God's presence in the distance, and the man of God following God's presence and them following God. And that's really, you know, that was the picture, and that's really how it's been metaphorically the whole time. God led them to a place. And Joshua followed God there, and the people followed Joshua, and they all ended up where God wanted them to be. And so they crossed the river, God parted it, did some amazing things. They grabbed the stones in the river, set up in Gilgal, and then they took the city of Jericho all through this process. What did God say? Okay, we're going to do that, right? The way they won the battle was they heard what God said, and they did what God said. It wasn't Joshua's military tactics and brilliance, although he had that. It wasn't the strength of their army, although they had that. The way they won the battle of Jericho, the fortified city, the seemingly impenetrable city, the way they won was by obeying God's command and watching God do it. That's the way God operates with his people, isn't it? He equips us in certain ways. He gives us talents and abilities along the way, and he can use those. But really, fundamentally, what it looks like is hearing what God said, obeying God, and watching God do it, right? That's how we're going to win these battles. And in our sanctification journey, there are some pretty intense battles, some things that along the way God wants us to conquer and overcome that seem impossible, but as long as we have faith in the God who's called us to do it and have faith in his ability to accomplish it, then here's all we need to do, really, is hear what God said and do what God said. And that's what they've done. And we said last week it's been kind of an anomaly in Israel's history. This isn't how they typically work, is it? They typically rebel. They typically whine. They're a lot like us, aren't they? But they had this spell of following God, and it's been incredible to watch. And so they marched around the walls like God said. The walls came down just like God said they would. They took the city just like God told them to. And God said when they got there to burn everything down, destroy it all, except for Rahab's household. We talked last week, remember? They kept Rahab and her household alive. And then the other thing that God told them to do was to save back the silver, the gold, the vessels of brass and iron for the treasury of the Lord. Those were in a sense, almost like a tithe, the first fruits that God gave them this first victory. You don't take any of this city. Now, along the way, he'll allow them to. We'll see that next week, that he sometimes along the way allowed them to benefit from the spoils of the war. But this first one, he made very clear, didn't he? God did that. He made very clear. He's the one that gave them the victory. He wanted all of that first fruits so that they would trust him and know that all they need to do from here on out is hear what he said, follow what he says, and trust that God's going to continue to give victory. And that's kind of where they've been. And so they weren't supposed to take any of the spoils. It was supposed to be either destroyed or put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And so they took the city, they burned it with fire, and the end of chapter 6, we read last week, verse 27, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout the country. And so Joshua's fame was noised about. He was clearly successful as a leader. And the key to his success, again, was not his charisma, was not his ability. The key to his success is he did what God told him to do, to take heed to the word of God, listen to what God said, do what God said. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then God said they'll be prosperous, and then you'll have good success. And it's no different for us. We hear what God says, we do what God says, and he is the one that brings success. And the way God brings success is different than what we think sometimes. But true success is following God and watching him work. And that's what happened. And Joshua's fame noised abroad. But we understand, don't we, that as Joshua's name noised abroad, it was really God's name that was lifted up because of the way they won the victory. Everybody knows. They probably were making fun of Israel as they walked around the city that seventh time. And they didn't have Facebook or Instagram, or I don't know what they did to spread all this around, but I'm sure it made it around that Israel's made it to Canaan, and they're, look at them, just walking around the city, and then they watched as God tore the walls down, and so God's being lifted up here, and it's just perfect, right? That's what we want in life. We want to follow God, watch Him work, and then we want the world to see that and give God the glory. It's just exactly what we're looking for. It was great. And of course, it didn't last long, did it? Because chapter 7 takes a negative turn in verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Now, what's the accursed thing? Remember, Joshua pronounced a curse on the city. They burnt it down. They weren't supposed to take any of it. Well, Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And so we find that Achan took what he wasn't supposed to take. And so one soldier took what belonged to God. One soldier took what belonged to God. Now you might be tempted to think that Israel was doing really well because only one soldier out of that whole army took what they weren't supposed to take. But listen, even though most of the army did well, God did still notice the one. He still saw the one who took what he ought not to have taken, took what belonged to God. And verse 1 says, let's look at it, that at the end, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against who? Achan? No, against the children of Israel. God's anger was against the entire nation because of this one man who decided to take what he ought not. And listen, we cannot in our life justify the sin of our life by pointing to all the areas of our life that we might be doing well in. Aren't we tempted to do that sometimes? Yeah, I know God told me not to do this, and I'm not doing well here, but God, look at all this and this and that and that. Look at all the ways that I am doing well. And that's not how God works. He doesn't operate that way. Again, we don't impress God, do we? No, God wants us to follow Him, but God hates sin. And God can't overlook sin because we have other areas that are going well. We cannot justify this area of our life that we're in. Listen, not just we're struggling and we're trying to get that right, but I'm talking about outright rebellion, that we know God says not to do this, and we're doing it anyway, and Achan knew that God said not to take it, and he kept on to it. And you're going to watch that as it starts to be noised abroad that someone did this, he doesn't say a peep. And he is in active rebellion against God, and we cannot pretend like we're right with God when we're in active rebellion in one area of our life, no matter how well we're doing with the rest of our life. Active rebellion, God's not okay with. He's against it. And He'll be against everything you do until you give that up and stop rebelling that way. And so if there's an area, listen, if there's an area of your life that you are in active rebellion to God in, then it will hinder your ability to move forward. You cannot move forward in these areas that, listen, here's really how it works, is we say, God, I really want your help in this area, and I want to move forward in this area, but this area, I kind of like it not moving forward. This area right here, I'll hold on to this. I mean, you can't have this part. I'm going to keep this part. And I feel like if you move me forward in this area of my life, then that would really help me. But you know what? I kind of like doing my own thing here. God's not okay with that. And you're not moving forward in any part of your life until you give God every part of your life. That's how it works. You see? Now, this was happening, and apparently Joshua wasn't aware of it. And he sent spies. So look in verses 2 to 9. I told you we would kind of read through this. Actually, just verses 2 to 5 for now. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Haven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And so Joshua sent these men to view out the land. And that's kind of that's what he does, right? As a military commander, he did that with Jericho. It's not a bad thing necessarily. And he sent the spies, and the spies come back, and they reported that the battle, oh, it's going to be easy. They said, oh, there's but a few. And so they said, you know, because the army is just a few, this is nothing really compared to Jericho. Are you following? We just took care of Jericho. These guys, they're nothing. We can handle that. That's kind of where they are, isn't it? And they're being kind of self-confident. And they say, we only need 2,000 or 3,000. Well, here's the problem. The spies were totally wrong. Joshua sent those 3,000 men, and the army of Ai chased them off and killed 36 of their soldiers. Now, why did that happen? Well, obviously, because God's presence wasn't there, but even practically speaking, the spies were just way off. Spoiler alert, in chapter 8, God does help them win the battle. And when he does, it says in chapter 8, I didn't write down the verse, but it says that they were able to, when God helps them fight, that the Bible says that 12,000 men and women of Ai fall. And that means probably their army was about 6,000. And they sent 3,000. That didn't work out, as you can tell. And so when they finally got God's mind on the matter, he told them to take the whole army in chapter 8. Take the whole army. And that's what they did. And so Joshua sends the spies. The spies were off. They were wrong. And listen, if you're going to go fight a battle in your own understanding, you're going to be off on some things if you don't take God with you. You see? And Joshua, he was unaware of the sin in his camp, one. And he also allowed himself to underestimate the enemy. Yeah. And sometimes, listen, sometimes when God gives us victory over a battle, we start to feel like we have a better handle on this. And when we get to that next battle, instead of stopping and making sure God's in this and making sure we get God's mind on this and getting counsel on this, we go ahead and jump to the next battle. And oftentimes, there's areas of our life we're missing. We have blind spots because we've not thought through it. And it's probably going to be a lot harder than we anticipated. And we kind of underestimate sometimes the situation and get ourselves in trouble, because we think we can handle it all on our own. And we forget it. It's God who gave us the victory, and now we think we can handle the victory. And that's kind of where Joshua was. Now, Joshua wasn't involved in this sin, but he's as a leader, he should have been more keen to this. And so this all takes place, and Joshua and his army end up stunned. They're melted, as it says. In verse 6, Joshua rent his clothes, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, and the elders of Israel and put dust on their heads. And so Joshua and the men can't believe this is happening. Now Joshua, by the way, is coming to God, which is the right thing to do. He didn't have the best attitude. Let's see how he talks to God in verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell before the ark upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust in their heads. And here's what Joshua said, verse 7. Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan?" Now it's God who's doing this. He's done this all by himself. Now he's attaching God to this. He says, "Wherefore hast thou brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us?" He said, "Did you bring us over to Jordan to kill us?" He's not doing good, is he? This was a quick turn. "Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan." He's questioning God here, isn't he? He's questioning God's character. He's wondering why God did this. Verse 8, "O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? God, you did this. You're bringing a mar on your own name. This isn't going to go good for Joshua. Yeah. But here's the thing. We can get mad at Joshua all we want, but sometimes we're going on this journey, and God's brought us along the way, and we start taking things in our own hand, and we start messing it all up, all the while thinking we're still following God because we got so confident. And we say, oh, I can handle this. I can handle this. Oh, yeah, I've had a grasp on this for years. I don't need God's help with this part anymore. And we go in confident in ourselves, convincing ourselves we're really confident in God, but really we haven't even talked to God about it, going into the battle, getting creamed, and then we end up questioning God. And it really wasn't God who did all of this, you see. Yeah, it wasn't God at all. And so God responds in a very stern and strong way. Look in verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Get up, Joshua. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Now listen, he should be on his face. But God says, why liest thou thus on thy face? Because here's the deal. Joshua wasn't on his face because he was showing reverence to God, obviously. By the way, he's talking to God. No, he's on his face throwing a pity party. Because it's not going the way he wanted it to go. And God says, Joshua, get up and I'll explain to you what's going on here now that you've decided to get me involved. Mm-hmm. God explained that someone in the camp is stolen from God and taken what God said to put in his treasury. Look in verse 11. Israel hath sinned, God says. Very clear to put the blame where it belongs. Amen. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Here's why you lost, Joshua, because the people of Israel sinned and you didn't even bother to look into it. That's what God said. Because they were accursed, neither will I be with you. This is a scary half a verse right here. God says, neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. He says, you got to find out what's going on here, and you got to figure it out and get this out of the camp, God says. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that your tribe, which the Lord taketh, shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. And so God says, so here's the deal, Joshua. The reason you're not doing well is not because I've not been faithful. The reason you've not been doing well is because Israel's not been faithful. They've taken of the accursed thing. And because of that, they could not have victory. And that God says he would no longer be with them. And they would not be winning any more battles until they got rid of what they were supposed to have already destroyed. Get rid of it, God says. And so then God gives them instruction. God told them to go tribe by tribe, then family by family, and then man by man, until they have found the man who did this, and he would need to suffer the same fate as Jericho. Isn't that what God told them to do? He said he'll be burnt with fire. Well, who else was burnt with fire? Well, Jericho was. And because this man Achan decided to go ahead and take of what was supposed to stay in Jericho, he took of what was accursed. He himself became accursed and had to be taken care of. And so Joshua did that. He followed the teaching, the instructions that God gave. He narrowed it down in verse 16 to the tribe of Judah, then the tribe of the Zerahites, and then man by man. Let's go ahead and read this. I told you we'd read through it, so let's do that. So Joshua rose up early in the morning. Now he's ready to obey the Lord. He had a little bit of a wake-up call there, huh? And reminded where the strength came from. And where does strength come from again? Listening to what God said and doing what God said. And up until this point, he was doing what he thought was right. He thought he was the big fancy military commander, didn't need God. He was doing what he thought. Now he's getting back to the roots, isn't he? And he's hearing what God said, and the next morning, he is doing what God said. That's all we need to do. It fixes everything. Hear what God said, do what God said. And so he rose up early in the morning and brought Israel there by their tribes. And again, we have this where it looks like we're going to read the same verses, but we're not. They are different verses. The verses before this is what God said to do. The verses after this is Joshua doing exactly what God said to do. But let's go ahead and read it. And so he brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Now pause. This has been going on all day. And Joshua has been going tribe by tribe, family by family, man by man. And Achan's watching this. And listen, this is the instructions of God to find out and root out. But I can't help but believe that this was also God's plan to give Achan time to confess and repent. Because this is, I think, along the way, Achan's starting to find out God knows what's going on. But he just stays silent, doesn't he? And he's just hoping this whole time that nothing's going to happen. And he will not repent. And it's a picture of what happened to Canaan at all, isn't it? For 400 years, God said, judgment's coming, judgment's coming, judgment's coming. And they would not repent. They refused. And now Achan is here with the accursed thing under his tent. And he sees it coming. Judgment is coming, tribe by tribe, family by family, man by man. Then tribe by tribe, family by family, man by man. And he's just sitting there refusing to give God what God deserves. And what God has already claimed. And so he does all of that. And he tells now, finally, we get to Achan. And now Joshua says, you need to tell us what happened. Don't hide it from me. Verse 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned. Yeah. And so he gets to the end, and he's already, judgment's here. It's already happening against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. Here's what happened. When I saw among the spoils of a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. He saw something he wasn't supposed to have. He coveted it. He wanted it. And I took it, he says. Coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. And so Joshua sent messengers. And they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid under his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire, and they had stoned, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from this is awesome. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. You know, that's what God wanted to do this whole time. The whole time this is happening, the whole time this is happening, this whole time this is hidden, the whole time they're not dealing with it, God's looking at them and saying, I'm not going to fight for you, but I want to fight for you. Get this out. And the moment they do, his anger is turned. And chapter 8 is a different story. And so we read it. Joshua narrowed it down to the tribe of Judah and the family of the Zerahites and man by man until Achan was taken. and he was backed in the corner, finally admits, and we read through all of it and how it worked. And so they found the accursed thing, then took everything Achan had, and they stoned it with stones, burnt it with fire. And Achan and his family, when they took all of this, they thought they'd be better off with those things, but actually they suffered the same fate as Jericho suffered. And then after they dealt with their sin, God turned away his anger. Blessing. That's the grace of God. Now this all feels heavy. This all feels vindictive maybe in our mind. And man, God's really after him on this. No, this is God's grace here. This is God's grace here. He showed them that they had an issue. Listen, God cannot overlook sin, but God told them exactly how to deal with it. And here's the reality that God will not ignore, and this is a reality of your life. You cannot move forward until you deal with your active rebellion against God. You cannot move forward. God desperately wants to move you forward. God wants to fight your battles, but you cannot move forward unless you deal with your sin. It has to be dealt with. It can't be ignored. It has to be dealt with. So the first step is this, is to realize that you need God, right? That's the first step. This is the step that Joshua missed. If he would have taken this step, this all would have been cleared. They wouldn't have lost anybody. Because listen, it doesn't matter how easy the battle seems. Ai seemed easy. So Joshua just assumed he wouldn't need God for this one. It doesn't matter how easy the battle is. It's too hard without God. The battle's too hard without God. And ironically, it doesn't matter how hard the battle seems. It's no problem for God. And so really, the question is not the difficulty of the battle. The only thing that matters is if God wants you to fight the battle or not fight the battle. And if you're fighting the battle the way God tells you to fight the battle, that's really the only thing that matters here. Because an easy battle is still too hard for you, and a hard battle is still way too easy for God. And so what matters is, are you fighting the battles God wants you to fight, and are you fighting them the way God wants you to fight them? That's all that matters. And so the first step in this is you need God. You need God. And God's enough. That's the first step. The next step is to make sure you're right with God. Okay, so if you realize that really the X factor, really the only thing that matters is that I am doing what God wants me to do, the only thing that matters is that I'm fighting the battles God wants me to fight and that I'm trusting Him to fight the battles for me. If that's all that matters, then what I need to make sure is that I'm right with God. Because all that matters is that God's with me. And so Joshua didn't do that. Joshua didn't even know there was a problem. He didn't even think to check if there was a problem. He sent the spies as he always does, which that's not a problem, as we said. But we never see him consider if they're following God or not. Up until this point, that's not how he worked, is it? Up until this point, Joshua was primarily concerned with what God thought. But right here, Joshua got his eyes off of God, and he didn't even think to ask God about it. And even though the battle looked easy, he still needed to get with God. Because he needed God to show him where he was off. And he needed God to show him how to fight the battle. And listen, just because, this will help you. Just because something looks like a sure thing doesn't mean God's in it. Just because it looks like a sure thing doesn't mean God's in it. Everything in Joshua's mind and experience told him to send the 3,000 men, it would be no problem. It seemed like a sure thing. He maybe thought, I don't even need to get God's mind on this. It's so obvious. No, you need to always get God's mind on it. If Joshua would have stopped to get God's mind on the matter, then God could have showed him the problem before he got himself in trouble. Right? Instead of getting himself in trouble and then God having to get him out of the trouble. Joshua didn't do that. He rushed into battle, fully relying on his own understanding, and he got creamed. He got creamed bad. And to make it worse, he blamed God for it, didn't he? But listen, if we're not thinking right, we might really believe God wanted us to do something just because it all just seemed to fall into place And we've never even asked God for it, but we've sure convinced ourselves God told us to do it, and then we do something that God never told us to do, and then we blame Him for it. Careful. Make sure you get God's mind on it. Yeah. Make sure you're always considering what God would think. So then the next step is to take sin seriously. When you get with God and He says, yes, move forward, but first you've got to take care of this, you need to take that seriously. If you're sitting in the pew and I'm preaching and I'm not following you around, but God is, and if He's on your case about something and you need to get something settled, you need to make sure you take that seriously. And here's the thing is, whenever God does that, He also gives instruction about how to take care of it, about how to deal with it. God doesn't just show you your sin and just make you feel bad about it. No, God shows you your sin and He always gives you a path to take care of it. God made it very clear how serious sin in the camp was to Joshua. But then God gave detailed instructions about how to deal with that sin so that they can move forward. You see? And God has made clear to us that unresolved sin is serious, and He will not fight for us if we don't deal with it. But God wants to fight for you. God desperately wants to fight with you. He's had this promised land for them for hundreds and hundreds of years, and God desperately wants to give them this, but He cannot just overlook their sin and fight for them anyway. And so He gives very clear instructions about how to deal with it and move forward. And so it's our choice then. Listen, here's our choice. Is being right with God worth following His instructions? I mean, you're where Joshua is, and you know, God says, you gotta do all this, you gotta go man by man, you gotta confront Israel, you gotta tell them their sin, you gotta go man by man, go tribe by tribe, go family by family. Man, that's a lot of work, and that's gonna be a process, and you need to make the choice, is going through that process worth being right with God or not? Because if you follow the process, you'll get right with God. God's not there dangling this in front of you, and He's not playing a game with you. He's not like, you do this, and I'm not. No, He wants to make it right, and He tells us how to make it right. And sometimes making it right is a process, and we need to be willing to go through that process. We need to admit that this whole thing is a big deal. Not just because we're about to get stoned and caught on fire. That's where Achan was. He wasn't concerned that he broke fellowship with God. He was concerned that he was about to get the punishment that's coming his way. No, we need to admit that this sin's a big deal because we love the Lord and He thinks it's a big deal. One. And then we need to humble ourselves before God, and we need to be willing to destroy anything He wants us to destroy to get right with Him. You see. Be willing to completely destroy it, and when you do, God will help you. God will help you. And that's what God did, right? God kind of led them through this process and led them right to Achan. And so we need to be willing to do that. We need to make being right with God primary in our life. Primary in our life. And we need to understand the heart of God. He desperately wants for you to be right with Him. God loves you so much. And God's watching you. And I don't know what God's dealing with you right now, but whatever it is, God does see it. And God sees the promised land ahead of you. He sees the life that He wants for you, but He sees this rebellion right here that you won't give up. And when you come to church and the preaching happens and you feel like you're being attacked, I promise you it's not for me. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't really want to know. We don't have any confessional booths here. But God, that's not me. That's God telling you right here, this right here, it needs to be dealt with because I want to work in your life and I have plans for you and I want to desperately want to give you victory over victory over victory. And I see the victories ahead and I see those guys and they're nothing for me, but you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to surrender to me. You're going to have to be willing to get rid of these things that I'm telling you to get rid of so that we can move forward. That's where God is. And He gives clear instruction. We just have to follow. And the moment we follow, God will immediately turn his anger. And that's what he says in verse 26. Right after they did, finished what God told them to do, the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. That's what God wants to do. That's why God's anger is different than our anger. He doesn't want to be angry. He's the only one that has the right to be angry. And here's what anger is. Anger is whenever it's not going your way and you're really mad about it. Well, it doesn't need to go our way, but it does need to go God's way. And so if it's not going God's way, he's the only one that has the right to be angry about this. But he doesn't want to be angry about this. He desperately wants for us to get on the right track. And he's just sitting there waiting for us to just trust him. Just trust him. Just take that step. Just get that thing out of your life. Just stop looking at that thing. Stop making that decision. Stop going that way. And don't just stop it, but deal with it and root it out and destroy it and catch it on fire and it's done. And you're moving forward, and I'm not that person anymore. Don't rebuild the walls. Don't rebuild the city. And if something gets through, and you've destroyed that, but little Achans are popping up in your life, no, root them out. Take care of it. Get rid of it. Why? Because what matters more than anything is that God and you are right. Because you're not going anywhere. You are not going anywhere until you deal with the rebellion in your life. But once you do, God's got plans. And he's not done with you. You've not messed up too much. God's got plans for you. The only thing stopping the plans that God has for you is you just getting rid of this thing, whatever it is. Get rid of it. Destroy the accursed thing. Destroy the attitude that's there. Destroy the anger that's there. Destroy the app that you shouldn't have. Destroy the website that you have. Put guardrails in place to keep you off that website. Destroy that friendship. Destroy that relationship. Destroy that whatever it is that God is saying, this right here is not in line with my plan for you, and you cannot move forward until this thing is gone and done and you're following me. And you might say, if I do that, my life's going to be a wreck. No, actually opposite. Achan thought, if I keep this, my life's going to be way better. And if I get rid of it, man, I'm going to lose a lot. No, he kept on to it, and you see how his life turned out. And Joshua got rid of it, and you saw his life, how it turned out. The only thing that matters here is that we're right with our God. And if we're right with our God, then he can navigate us through all of this mess and get us where he wants us, battle by battle. But we have to let him fight. Us. Destroy the accursed thing. I don't know what it is. Destroy it. And let God work. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you worked in the life of Israel here. Thank you, Lord, how you dealt with Joshua. And Lord, you know who we are, and you know how we oftentimes try to do these things in our own strength, and we ignore you, and then we make a mess of things and blame you. And Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you. Help us to recognize that we don't have this, and we desperately need you to fight our battles. Help us to stop rebelling. Help us to stop living this life based on our own understanding and fully surrender and submit to you. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that even though we've done these things, and even though we've got off track so often, and even as the song says, we're prone to wander in our hearts, even though we're that way, Lord, you love us so much and you desperately want to use us still. Thank you for your grace. Help us to get right with you tonight and help us to watch you fight the battles in our life. We love you. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Let's stand together. If God's dealing with you tonight, Brother Josh, you play song of invitation. And if God's dealt with you about something, I don't know your life. I'm not watching you. But God, I can't help but think that he's showing you something. Maybe an ache, and maybe when you showed up here, you didn't even realize it was an issue, but now God's showing you it is an issue. Take that serious. Don't ignore that. Destroy the accursed thing. Or at least decide you will, because it might be a process. But you make a determination, I'm going to follow God's process here and get right with him and watch him fight.